Welcome in to the Monday Morning Coffee and Football Show. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Jerry Hamilton. Jerry, Blake's still got some stuff he's got going on, so he won't be with us today. Presented by John Donovan, our friend at Longhorn Wealth Management Group. Longhorns won another baseball series, Texas softball team, number one seed. But Jerry, recruiting still going full board today. Coaches back on the road as well. A lot of stuff going on in Longhorn Land. We're here to talk to you about it. Guys, make sure you tell us where you're checking in from, what coffee you're drinking. For me this morning, it's a little Starbucks. It's a special selection, Starbucks brown sugar cinnamon.
Oh, limited. You need the extra kick this morning, Bobby.
I got a little. I needed a little. I was in a car until late last night, bringing my daughter back home from college. So we didn't get in until about 1:30 last night, trying to get that done. So, tell us again where you're checking in from, what you're drinking, that sort of stuff. Jerry, long weekend for the Longhorns in some respects. Kobe Sellers, the defensive back out of Pearland Shadow Creek, committed to Texas A&M over the weekend, but it wasn't one that Texas was necessarily circling as a possibility. What does that leave? I want to start here this morning as a topic. What does that leave on the board right now for Texas at defensive back recruiting in the 2025 class?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, I think Texas would have taken a commitment from Kobe Sellers, but did they go all in on Kobe Sellers at that point in time when he was ready to make this decision? No. That's kind of recruiting today, though. I mean, that's kind of how it goes. That doesn't mean Kobe Sellers isn't a very good player. He's a four-star prospect, top 300 guy in the country. I think at corner, I think Texas really had four guys on the board there. I mean, right now, five counting Devin Williamson Buford, but he's never been on campus, so he's a wild card. So it's Dorian Brew, who announced last week that he's officially visiting June 7th through 9th. That's Texas. Ohio State, LSU, I think, are your main competition. Maybe USC or Oregon, but I think it's really Ohio State and LSU at the end of the day with that as where it'll be. Then there's Caleb Chester from Fort Bend Marshall, who Texas really likes. He's coming in June 7th through 9th. I believe Terry Joseph's scheduled to be at that school this week. Then Aiden Anding is a guy who, you know, if you look at the top two guys, it may be Dorian Brew and Aiden Anding from Ruston, Louisiana. Terry Joseph was through the school last week there. He visits Texas June 21st through 23rd. Then there's Devin Williams at Buford. It's a Tashard Choice and Kenny Baker went through Buford earlier in May, and he's the Auburn commitment, four-star, top 300 in the country, scheduled up that Texas official visit for June 21st through 23rd. That's the weekend after Auburn. So obviously Auburn will try to shut him down that weekend. He's never been on campus at Texas before. So even if he makes it in, that's a real wild card. And then at safety, obviously Cade Phillips is the, I think, a guy that's very, very, very high on the board. And then I believe Blake Gideon and Terry Joseph are both scheduled to be at Hightower this week to see Cade Phillips, which is a Texas LSU, Texas A&M battle there. So Jonah Williams continues to not trend towards Texas. That's trending. That was trending Oklahoma early in January and into the spring. A&M very much in it right now. I think, look, Texas on the outside looking in there. I'm sure Blake Gideon will go by the school this week. Texas staff is going to be out on the road in the Houston area today with rain jackets on. I mean, it's going to be some bad weather this afternoon in the Houston area, Golden Triangle area, but Texas staff's all over Houston this week. Whether that's, as we mentioned, Terry Joseph, Blake Gideon, Chris Jackson will be through Hitchcock to see Kelshawn Johnson, probably be out to see Andrew Marsh, a couple other guys, younger receivers, Chris Stewart at Shadow Creek. I know Kenny Baker, I believe Chase Sims told me Texas is coming through there this week, Richmond Randall. So you'll have some of those Houston area guys, DJ Sanders, which is somewhat Houston area, right, at Belleville. Then Kyle Flood, he got out, I believe, to see Tyler Thomas late last week. But I believe he's scheduled to be out at Port Neches Groves today to see Jackson Christian, who that's one prospect. We're kind of watching moving off a timeline, the July, June timeline, see if he makes a decision earlier. Port Neches Groves spring game scheduled for 6 p.m. today, weather permitting. Obviously, the state champs there at Port Neches Groves, Jackson Christian. It's going to be A&M or Texas. It's going to be one of the two. We'll see which way that goes and how soon he makes that decision.
Hey, Jerry, I'm going to circle back to the defensive backs real quick. I want to make sure I've got this right. So Phillips and Anding are the two safeties.
Yeah.
Dorian Brew and Caleb Chester are the two corners. And then what is Devin Williams in your opinion?
Corner. He's a corner.
Okay. Got it. So basically two safeties, three corners, maybe one that can play both.
Yeah.
Anding and Phillips are both safeties for sure, or could they play around the secondary?
No, I think Anding's a corner first and okay. DB in general second. So okay. I think right now that's who is that next safety spot? Who does Texas like is going to be interesting. I mean, you saw Blake Gideon stopped by Del Valle last week. Coach Patman's son's very talented kid. Is Texas going to make a move there? You saw Terry Joseph go take a look at Ramones Adams, the corner nickel out of Bastrop High, who's committed to Texas Tech. He was at Smithville, then moved to Bastrop. So Texas still in full evaluation mode, both in-state and nationally. I think they're going to take their time on this and make sure they get it right. I'll say that. Adonis Curry, another corner out of Quartz Hill in Lancaster, California, Northern California. I believe Terry Joseph's going out there either late this week or early next week. But he is not scheduled in the Texas official visit, and he has about five scheduled. So he's one of the best in the country, in my opinion, in that class. But I think he continues to be a long shot.
Got it. All right, Jerry, I got a couple other questions here for you. As we were talking a little bit on coffee and football this morning, going live from our respective homes here, talking to you guys. Hey, Jerry, I had a question for you that related to what you did last week and all of what you were at down in Florida in the Southeast. Was yep. there anything, any a couple top line comments that you had that you thought were relevant going into this week coming off of that? I mean, anything yeah. that you really feel is major that people need to know?
Yeah, I think two or three things for me, three things I would say is start with Jamie French where I was Monday. Okay. And I'll circle back to Kevin Wynn. So it's actually probably four things actually. But I'll start with Jamie French, my Monday stop last week at Mandarin High in Jacksonville. If Texas fans are wondering, is Texas a legitimate player? Absolutely. Texas could win that recruitment. And am I just going to jump out this? Oh, Texas is a leader. I mean, some of that stuff 2 months ago, he was going to Ohio State. People got to remember that, right? These things are changing. And late May through June is when these recruitments get real for these top prospects. So the who's leading now part, it doesn't mean as much to me as who we hear is leading in late June. I mean, that's after these official visits. So I want to throw that out there. But with that said, I think Texas is probably the top school for Jamie French right now. What does that mean come into June or July before he makes his decision? We'll find out. But Texas has a legitimate shot there. I think he's, after visiting with Jamie for, you know, while that interview is on Texas football, great kid, by the way. He's maybe a natural on camera. I think that he fits at Texas. I think his mom liked about everything at Texas, where that's not the case at two or three of the other schools on his list right now. Who does it ultimately come down to? Because right now, it seems like Texas LSU. I think Texas Tennessee is where that heads. I think Miami will make a strong, strong run. I just don't know if I see that. Could be wrong. I think Ohio State's faded in that. So I think those are your main four. Florida State still trying. But that was the one on Jamie French. Then when going through Spruce Creek, Derry Norris, the four-star defensive lineman, Kenny Baker was out there last Monday. I think that official visit will get locked in for June 21st through 23rd. I think Miami and Texas have the best shot to him right now. Florida's trying. He has some other official visits scheduled. Georgia Tech, Minnesota have been in on him early before he kind of blew up. But I think civil engineering is key with him as his major. He's a kid who's really – he's already taken a look at the civil engineering program at Texas. He's ahead of the game even though he's never been on campus. He was going to be on campus for the spring game, but weather knocked out that visit. So I think Texas and Miami are pretty strong there with Derry Norris. Dia Bell was interesting to me, Bobby, the 26th quarterback out of American Heritage. Him and Troy Hune, the other 26th quarterback with a Texas offer, are both going to be at the Elite Camp June 1st. As of last Thursday, that's the only first week of June camps either one have scheduled. So that tells you kind of where it's at for Texas. I think as of right now, the quarterback's going to 26th quarterback from Texas is going to come from that. One of those two guys right now. Could a Jet Surratt, could one of these guys in Texas, Ferret out of El Paso that A.J. Milwee looks at in May, very much get in the picture? Quite possibly. But right now there's two offers out, and there was three, but Jared Curtis committed to Georgia. So it's Troy Hune out of Mission Hills in San Marcos, California, and Dia Bell. And LSU and Penn State are making big runs at Dia Bell. But it seems to me, just doing this a long time, guys, that these guys, Dia Bell and Troy Hune, are going to go to that Texas visit and kind of on June 1st. Because remember, that's a big day. That's when KJ Lacy committed last year as the Texas elite camp. So which of those guys is Steve Sarkisian going to make that push for on June 1st? Because A.J. Milwee goes to watch Dia Bell one last time May 20th and Troy Hune on May 22nd. So may watch those guys throw. And then there was Myron Charles out of Port Charlotte. Guys, I think Texas has a legit shot at Myron Charles, the four-star defensive lineman out of Port Charlotte, 6'4", 280. He hasn't really even physically developed yet. He'll be 3'10", 10.5-inch hands, 80-inch wingspan. He has all the details, right? He's got all the measurables. But Florida State was a big leader for a while. There's been a lot of Florida State picks. I think people may be getting a little ahead of themselves on the recent Florida State picks. I think Florida State probably feels like they're the team to beat, but I think the June visits are going to decide that. He goes to Florida, Miami, Texas, and Florida State in that order. So Florida State gets the last word. I think people are banking on that. Georgia will be at his spring game Thursday and is trying to get a visit. So, you know, if that happens, it's even more competition for Florida State. And then Kevin Wynn, circling back to the first guy I saw on the road, the second guy after KJ Lacy. Kevin Wynn, I think Texas, once he visits, I think Texas is going to have a legit shot with him. I think right now Florida State and South Carolina are top two. What's interesting there is Georgia is okay if Florida State or South Carolina gets a highly ranked defensive lineman. But now that Texas is in the picture, watch how much harder Georgia pushes. I think they're Kirby. The one thing, Bobby, I don't think Kirby wants is Texas winning offensive line or defensive line battles in his home state, if he can avoid it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because, look, you can handle losing Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah.
And still have a good team. You can't lose two or three linemen in the state of Georgia that you rely on every year, and that become an issue for you. All right, good stuff, Jerry.
By the way, I want to update something. There's been a lot of people talking about KJ Lacy's weight. KJ Lacy's 186 pounds right now.
Yep, absolutely.
He was 182 pounds a few weeks before they started spring football at Saraland. He's 186 now. He's actually put on some weight, grown about half an inch.
All right. Before we get to some other news and notes for the Longhorns of the weekend, a lot of graduates, by the way, from the University of Texas. Derek Johnson giving a speech for the School of Education. Kevin Altife, the chancellor of the University of Texas, not chancellor, head of the Board of Regents. He actually gave a speech on Saturday during it saying, look, there was no way we weren't going to have some sort of graduation for the kids that just finished college. Congratulations to so many of them. They went through COVID, Jerry, and did not have their regular graduation. So happy for those guys to be able to do that. Kevin Altife, the chair of the Board of Regents, talking about that. And then Derek Johnson at the School of Education, giving the commencement address there. All right, before we get on to some more sports-related topics, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. That's John Donovan, president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group. John's a proud UT grad and shares his Longhorn passion with his wife and all six siblings, all who are also UT grads. John's a certified financial planner who spent more than 30 years providing investment, insurance, retirement, and estate planning services and solutions to his clients. John has served 14 years as a Dallas, Texas Exes board member, and it's his love for UT that inspired him to dedicate his firm to serving his fellow UT alums and all UT employees. For a free 90-minute consultation to explore how John and the Longhorn Wealth Management team can serve you and your loved ones, give John a call at 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net. Thank you, John, for your sponsorship of Monday Morning's Coffee and Football. Hey, Jerry, just looking around at some other news and notes. Men's and women's track and field sweep the conference tournament there. That gives Texas 14 Big 12 championships on the way out the door. Softball, the rankings came out, and actually the NCAA tournament selection show came out. The Longhorns get the number one overall seed in women's softball. And then you also have the baseball team. They went out to Orlando this week, Jerry, and won yet another series. They've now won five straight series. On the year, Texas has won 8 of 9 series, which is as good as anyone in the Big 12. The problem with Texas is that they're only winning these series 2-1. There's no sweeps.
Yeah.
So they've got
really making up ground. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not making up ground when they're behind. But I think they're third or fourth in the Big 12 conference right now. They've got KU this coming weekend at home.
A couple things there. So Texas is back in that spot you don't want to be in, sandwiched between Cincinnati and West Virginia. That's no man's land, right? Or does that make you Ashland, Kentucky? Then the other thing was, when I was looking at all Texas Big 12 championships, I went and looked at the SEC champions this year, just to look ahead in the conference, right? Who's dominating what? And this is amazing. So the SEC's awarded 19 champions this year in men's and women's sports. And you know who's 0-19? Who doesn't have one? Texas A&M. Baseball's their last hope, man. And for a university that thumps their chest and runs their mouth as much as they do, 0-19, that's freaking pitiful. I mean, I don't care how many times you finish third, you're 0-19. Zero. Goose egg. Nothing. Can't make a shot from 2 feet. 0-19. So maybe stop the chest thumping and running your mouth as much as you do until you actually win something.
Well, they thought they were going to win the SEC championship in baseball, and they still may in the conference tournament. But I got to be honest, they're fourth right now. In the SEC baseball rankings, I think. So we'll see how that goes for everybody, especially the Aggies, who, you know, they sometimes they need a little help, Jerry. That's all. They just need a little help.
0-19, man.
Maybe your encouragement will help them a little bit. You never know. All right, we've got time.
I don't think Randy Johnson ever went 0-19 in a row at the plate as a 6'10 pitcher. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did go 0-80 or something, but 0-19 is a lot.
I don't even want to go there. It's Monday morning. It's too. Hey, somebody, you wrote that post on the message board on Texas Football this morning, and someone said Jerry woke up and chose violence.
It's just as much smack talk as you hear. You would think win something. I mean, even Auburn's ripped right by you in Equestrian, has run like 6 in a row. There was a time when Tom Selleck's daughter went to A&M for Equestrian, and that was big news. And I know, I think A&M won a national title in Equestrian way back, but they've got dusted by the old Auburn Tigers in the last 6-7 years.
Well, I you know, is Equestrian a sport? I guess it is, right? But we'll see. All right. Hey, let's go to the chat line. We're going to take some questions and comments. So please feel free the rest of the way to get your thoughts and questions in. We'll try to address them as best as possible. So let's start out here with E. Kim in Rockford, Illinois. Jerry, morning from Rockford, Illinois. Bobby, your take of the Josh Pate interview of Steve Sarkisian. I just think it's more Steve Sarkisian. I appreciated some of the things he said about whether it was recruiting. You know, if I've offered someone, then it's a committable offer, et cetera. That's true, but there's some nuance to that, as we all know.
Yeah,
that's just the way of the world. But look, I think Sark all the time comes off as a genuine person, even if he's. And I was talking actually to an agent of a couple of players on the team, and that has since gone on and had some guys drafted in the NFL from Texas. And he said, look, I mean, Sark is a very straightforward person. He's competitive, and he tells you what he thinks, but you know where you stand. You know where you stand with him. And you either like that or you don't like it, but there's no question about it. And I think that came across in the interview with Josh Pate as well. All right, Jerry, going to go to you from Antoine. Jerry, could you see an OL class? We just talked about the DB class and what we're thinking there. Could you see an OL class of Michael Fasusi, Jackson Christian, the Coleman brothers, and Tyler Thomas three guys from the Metroplex, two from Southeast Texas, Houston, Golden Triangle area.
Yeah, I think it's what's interesting is I think the class is in the balance, but I think the class is going to be tremendous. So if that makes sense, is look at it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the class. I'll tell you this, Nick Brooks, Texas is getting some confidence in a Nick Brooks recruitment out of Iowa. Does that mean they're going to beat out Georgia? I don't know. But there's some confidence being gained there, right? And so it's very interesting. Texas, I think, is going to get – I think as of today, they're going to win out for John Mills. Maybe Washington does at the end of the day or something like that. But, look, Texas has a lot of – Lamont Rogers. Texas is right there with Lamont Rogers. It's going to be interesting to see how all these guys break and kind of win some of them. The Texas targets start to break off timelines because right now the first guy that I could see breaking off a timeline could be a Jackson Christian. I think the rest of these guys are definitely going through June visits right now. So, and Jackson Christian may well, but there's also a little bit of movement there that maybe he moves off a timeline. So we'll see. But I think something will break soon, and we'll see which way that goes. Jackson Christian will go to A&M or Texas. I would say this for the offensive line class. I think that I would say this: John Mills, Texas would take him today. Coleman brothers, absolutely. Jackson Christian, yes. I think Tyler Thomas has returned very well off his foot surgery that held him out his junior year. He's looked really good in spring practice from multiple college coaches. So very good player that maybe doesn't get as much hype as some other guys do. But the Nick Brooks kind of throws a wrench into things if Texas starts feeling some confidence there, because he's very talented, very good. And Lamont Rogers at tackle as well. So I think Fasusi is very interesting, because Colin Simmons to Texas fans last year was a must-get recruit, right? That's what Fasusi is for A&M this year in this class. They have to knock out offensive line recruiting. They were a sieve last year. It was ugly. They have to, and Mike Elko knows, they have to address A&M and offensive line in a big way in the 25 class. So that puts Fasusi at the top of that board. So that will be that will be one that they're absolutely all in on. Texas has some confidence there. I think it'll go through the June visits. Texas is going to sign five or six guys, and it's going to be a really good offensive line class. Which way it breaks, it's hard to say right now. But I will say this, I think Texas offensive line class is going to be very good.
Let me ask you this. Of this group, who is the one that you would most likely, that's not mentioned, that you would most likely put into this group? Of a most likely, is it John Mills?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, we think Texas has I don't want to say a comfortable lead, because nothing's comfortable in recruiting, but they are definitely involved there and involved heavily. Is he the one guy that you would say, hey, you need to put his name into this group?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think he's one of the better players of the group, honestly. I think, look, if he's at St. Ignatius in San Francisco, had a lot of guys up there, right? If he was at Modern Day or Bosco, he'd be looked at as a totally different recruit. I think he's very, very good. We'll see what happens there. But I think Texas is the favorite over Washington, have been for a while. He's had multiple family members that played at Washington. If Washington ended up winning out, it would just be kind of a family connections thing. But I think John Mills prefers to play football in the South. He said that on an interview with us here on Texas Football, but he would be the guy definitely in the group. I think that, look, the way I would kind of put this out, lay this out too, is Fasusi is a left tackle. Jordan Coleman and John Mills could play right tackle. They could also be kick butt guards, right? Devin Coleman is a guard center. Jackson Christian, I think, is a guard next level. Lamont Rogers, obviously a right tackle type. And then you get to Tyler Thomas as an interior guy, right? So that's kind of some of the guys. Nick Brooks, right tackle or interior guy. Probably right tackle. But he's like the other guys. He could be a devastating guard. So that's kind of a breakdown of the positions for these guys. And the question is, does Texas take five or six? I think that's in the balance. I think Texas definitely takes five. Outside shot, they take six. We'll see what happens.
Hey, here's a follow-up question from Bobby Petronic, Jerry, that I think's good. Because one of the things that Josh Pate did talk about was timing and cohesiveness and how the quarterback and his receivers get on the same page. It's something I've been talking about since spring. I mean, you could tell that they just weren't quite there yet. I mean, Xavier Worthy made that thing click. So did Jordan Whittington early on. Batronic says, remember when Adonai Mitchell started being reliably used last season? That's about how long it will take for the timing to come together. You know what? I agree with that. The question is, he didn't really start getting reliably used until after the University of Houston game. If you think about that, what is that, six games in when he started being reliably used? That may be too long of a time for Texas to miss. What do you think about Sark's comment as it relates to that, Jerry? You know, yes, it takes time. So when do they get it done? We know Jonte is working with Quinn a little bit this offseason up in South Lake. They're getting in some reps, et cetera. But your thoughts on that whole idea that Texas may not come out of the gate punching, so to speak, or at least throwing haymakers in the passing game because of a lack of repetition and or experience together?
Yeah, I think Sark's playing a little coy there. A little bit for me. I mean, Texas came out throwing punches at Alabama last year. I mean, Texas is going up to Michigan to do the same, if you ask me. And that's all going to come down to, like it did last year. We talked about this headed into last year's game. If pass protection's good, then Texas is going to attack. They're going to test Michigan. But now the pass protection has to be good. And it's a different good because Michigan's interior of the defensive line can mess up your timing. But we talked about that going to the Bama last year. It was a huge game for the Texas offensive line versus Bama. Bama still had a number of draft picks on that D-line. Dallas Turner, obviously a first-round pick off the edge. Texas offensive line played extremely well in that game. I think the whole thing is there. I think Sark's playing coy. He's not going up to Michigan to do anything but attack, attack, attack. If the offensive line plays well against Michigan's defensive front, and now Will Johnson can take somebody away, right? He's tremendous. He can be a first-round pick. They did lose a starting safety to ACL in the spring. But if Texas offensive line is up to the task that day in Michigan, Texas is going to attack big. I think Sark's playing a little coy there. That's my opinion. And I think Texas is going to make – I think these players from spring – to August in the system, the new guys make big strides. I think that's the reality of it. I think Isaiah Bond will feel much more comfortable in this system in August. Matthew Golden, the same. Ryan Wingo, the same. So Nye Black, the same. I just think you're going to see this Texas team. Sark's going to test Michigan with all that speed, no doubt.
Gotcha. All right, Jerry, as we get going here, it's prepare yourself for your morning read. I know that this is a fun time for you, but also I want to mention, feel free to get your questions in the queue right now. We're going to be having those on the other side of this all-important read from our friends at Manscaped.
Jerry, take it away. This is perfect timing because I just got back from Florida. And I didn't take a gander at the beach 3 or 4 times. Look, hey there, beach babes. Are you ready to soak up those summer vibes and unveil your ultimate beach bod? Well, you're in luck because our friends at Manscaped have you covered from head to toe. And trust me, some people on the beach need it. With the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, this ultimate all-in-one grooming kit is set to have you looking and feeling your best in the summer sun. Trust Manscaped and unlock the confidence you need to turn heads this season. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code ONTEXAS, all caps. Let's make this summer your smoothest one yet. Look, embrace your summer bod goals with our all-inclusive Performance Package 5.0. Perfect for those aiming for that crisp, clean, and very confident look. The updated Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra Groom, Growing, and Body Hair Trimmer just got a summer makeover. It's waterproof. Throw it in the ocean, retrieve it, it's still going to work. Designed for the splashy pool parties and beach hangouts. Look, and then there's this, guys. You got to keep your ears and nose as tidy as your hedges next door with our Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer. Hey, if you go to the beach, you got to get it all clean, right? Pesky hair be gone. For those sunny beach days, and you know you're going to have them, don't leave home without the Crop Preserver anti-chafing ball deodorant. You got to have that. Let's see sun shine, not sweat. Our Magic Mat disposable shaving mats got your back and your front and everything else that needs grooming. Manscaped on Texas, all caps. Get that beach bod ready.
Jerry, I don't even know what to say, dude. You give it your full vigor there, my man. Everything you got, you give it to him, you know? It's one of those all-in reads, or you just can't get it going. I don't know how many different tools I would need to take care of this body. That's the problem I've got going on right now. I am aging and not so gracefully at times, I think, is the problem. So, hey, all right, let's get back to the chat line, talk a little Longhorn football.
We got a little news. I've been texting a little bit with Aiden Anding, the corner from Ruston, Louisiana. He's added one more visit. So he has Arkansas, Miami, Miami's June 14th through 16th, Arkansas, May 31st, June 2nd, Texas, June 21st through 23rd. He added TCU June 7th through 9th. So Aiden Anding added a fourth visit. I really think, unless it's just a close to home Arkansas factor, which I don't see, I think Texas and Miami are pretty much the front runners on this one.
And Arkansas is not real close to Monroe, Louisiana. I mean, you got to go the entire state of Arkansas, and it's not exactly close, even though it is northern Louisiana to northern Arkansas. Jerry, a couple more questions for you, and we'll get going. Thanks for that update on Aiden Anding. Let's start with this and go from there. Anything on Tre'Darrion Ball? We know Texas has taken Racine Guillory out of Aledo, the running back there. What about Tre'Darrion Ball out of East Texas, another 2026 running back? I think it was you or CJ that had something on him last week.
Yeah, no, I think Tre'Darrion Ball is a guy that Texas likes a lot. They also like Javion Osborne, obviously, at Forney. The in-state running back class is tremendous. I'm interested to see if any running back tries to even bounce into the 25 class. I think it'd be tough, difficult to do, but we'll see next year if anybody tries that. I think we're getting to the point in recruiting where, you got to watch out for everything. But Tre'Darrion Ball, very good, ran 10.6, 10.7 range, pretty much the track season, 5'10", 185. He's a kid who's physical. Really good player. Javion Osborne, really good as well. There's KJ Edwards at Carthage. You might not be the fit for what Texas is looking for with Racine Guillory already in the fold. But I will say this too, on the travels in Florida last week, there's a kid named Derek Cooper who's going to be a junior at Chaminade Madonna, who he's going to be up for the best running back in the country in 26. I'll be interested to see if Texas actually tries to get in on that one, because he may end up being the dude now in that class.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. This is a super chat from Daniel Sheehan. Jerry, I saw Jalen Lott last week. He's a stud.
Yeah.
You see Texas pushing for him when the time comes.
Oh yeah. He's a 1A guy. No doubt about it. Playmaker on both sides of the ball. Obviously Bobby can go into who his father was and why that's important in this recruitment, but yeah, Texas loves Jalen Lott. Now, make no mistake, Texas will want Jalen Lott as a part of the 26 class. He's big-time playmaker.
Yeah, his dad, James Lott, was from Refugio, now living up in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, played at Texas, was a national champion in the high jump at Texas, but also played safety for the Longhorns back in the late 70s, early 80s, I think. Tremendous all-around athlete. I think he was a all-conference in two different sports.
Yep.
Long story short, Texas is well aware of Jalen Lott and has been for a long time. I'm going so far as to say they've been by the high school just to see him.
Yeah.
So they're all in on that one and want him really badly. All right, this one, next one coming up from Kelly Horns Up. Guys, interested in your thoughts on the impact of our edges on affecting opposing QBs. my thoughts are our edges really punish the QB this year. I think the big deal, and I've been thinking about this since it's been a topic, is Texas is going to be able to come at people in different ways than they have in the past. Baron Sorrell is more of a power to a power move guy.
Yeah.
Whereas Ethan Burke is a little bit more speed rush type around the edge. With Colin Simmons and Trey Moore, it's going to be a little bit more adaptive, I think, in how they get after the quarterback. So a offensive tackle or offensive tackles aren't going to be able to just practice one idea or one thing in a week leading up to Texas. Beware of this. Be aware of that. They're going to see a different type of pass rush based on who they're lining up against at that point in time. And I do think that that's going to affect the quarterback. One of the things that affects the quarterback quickly, one of the things that affects the quarterback really well, is if you get quick pressure too, Jerry. Yeah. And love Baron Sorrell. Think he's a pro football player. He's not necessarily the quickest defensive end, right? And so I'm interested to see what happens there. What are your thoughts on the impact of our edges on affecting opposing QB?
And I want to bring this up. The super chat kind of rolls with that as well. Okay. Thank you very much for that. Last night, the guys were talking about sacks this season. They kept I set referencing the number 40-ish. And the reason I reference that 40-ish number is if you look at the teams that have won the national championship, save George, who had 35 in their second national title year, but they got a lot of hits on the quarterback. And that number has always been 39, 40, up into the mid-40s. I think George had 45, Clemson had 46 in back-to-back years, right? Nick Saban's teams are always around that 39, 42, 43 range. Texas had 32 last year. And so I use that number kind of as a big blanket number. But if you end the season with 39, 40 sacks, that means you're hitting the quarterback a lot more, right? So I think the edge pressure is huge. Because last year, you saw what Washington did. They slid pocket a little bit, right? Because Texas had the interior guys, and they're going to slide the pocket around. I think it's going to be harder to slide the pocket against Texas this year. I think the edges are going to be get upfield more, going to be more disruptive players. But to me, getting hits on quarterbacks is key. The one area, and people look at the sack numbers and who those sack numbers come against. I totally agree, Jack. You don't want 10 sacks against Colorado State and UL Monroe and then get 30 the rest of the way, right, in the other 10 regular season games, or the counting an SEC title game if you get there. So it is who they're against, and you got to get those hits on quarterback and get the quarterback to the ground in the games that are meaningful. You look at the two games that Texas lost last year, Oklahoma and Washington. There are a lot of similarities there. And the pass defense is the thing that's talked about most. But how many times were those guys hit in the backfield? I mean, truly, how many times are the quarterbacks really hit and taken to the ground, knocked to the ground in those two games? So I think that's going to be big for Texas moving forward in the SEC and this season. I expect them to make a big jump, and it's going to be a different way, like Bobby said. I think Trey Moore, Colin Simmons are guys that are just explosive, twitchy pass rush guys. So they're going to get hits on the quarterback and to be disruptive even when they don't get sacks necessarily. But Texas needs to inch up 39, 40 sacks this year for me. They need to get to that number. There's a reason all those teams have averaged about that number or more.
All right, Jerry, next question. This was a good one. I actually started doing a little bit of research while you were talking there, and it's from Archmania. Which of the June arrivals are y'all most excited to see in action? Mine is Santana Wilson. So I will say this, that it would here's the point. Let's separate this into two categories.
Yes.
High school recruits, incoming portal recruits.
Yeah.
Okay. High school recruits, Jerry, you go, then I'll go, and then we'll go portal recruits from there. Thanks for the question, Arch.
And I'll high school's in two categories as well. Melvin Hills, Nate Kibble, offensive lineman at Atascocita, defensive line Lafayette Christian. Since they weren't in for spring practice, those guys are going to sit, bake for a year, be developed. They weren't there for the spring with Torrey Becton and the spring football practice. So those guys will take a year, see what happens as they develop. Give them a developmental year. Although Nate Kibble, I'm going to post some photos on ontexasfootball.com later today. All like just a bunch of photos from April and May that I've taken so far. Nate Kibble looked really good walking into the spring game Saturday. He's in good shape. But I think those two guys are more a year away, right? And talk about them next spring. Let them develop. Give them time. So the two high school guys coming in, I have my eye on Santana Wilson at corner one and Michael Kern, the punter from Aquinas, two. So Santana Wilson, if he had been in for spring practice, I think he would have been a guy being talked about as in the mix. So now the question is, because he's similar, and I'm not saying he's the same player, but he's similar to Manny Muhammad in one way. They're technicians at corner. They've been playing corner a long time. They're technicians more than just straight combine athletes at the position. Obviously, his father was a great safety in the NFL and executive in the NFL. But those guys have trained as a corner. They are technically ahead of a lot of guys that play corner coming in to college. So that gives Santana a chance to me to get on the field some next year or make a push to get on the field. The key there was what I thought Manny Muhammad did so well that I think Santana Wilson will be the big thing for him. Manny, you heard about making plays on the ball, causing a fumble early on at Texas. That guy brought his hat physically. He brought the physicality needed at the Power Five level almost immediately in his training. And to me, some corners do that and some guys don't. They take a while there. The question is Santana Wilson, if he brings the physicality early on, like Manny Muhammad did, combined with the technical, being ahead technically, that may give him a chance to hit the field a little bit. Michael Kern will be interesting. If Texas doesn't take a punter in the portal, then Michael Kern's going to be competing for that job from day one as a true freshman who wasn't here for spring practice. One of the top two or three punting prospects in the country out of high school football coming in. So those two are separate from Nate Kibble and Melvin Hills for me, Bobby.
All right, I will agree with that. Here's what Santana Wilson's looking against, and the backdrop of it, the context, I guess, is the best way to put it. You have three guys that I think are going to be the top of the rotation right now: Manny Muhammad, Gavin Holmes, and Javion Cole, who we'll talk about in a minute, the corner from San Jose State. I think those three are going to be it. Okay, neither Wardell Mack nor Kobe Black set the world on fire this spring. Now, not saying they don't have long-term,
right?
Talent and all this other stuff, but neither one of them were like, oh boy, we got to get you on the field tomorrow, right? They didn't have that type of spring. Is Santana Wilson that kind of guy like Manny Muhammad was a year ago? We don't know. Yeah, and so I think that that's a fair one. You mentioned the punter, that the other one. I'll be blunt. I want to see. Most excited is the interesting word. I'm probably most excited for Nate Kibble. Just be honest, because I like seeing depth along the offensive and defensive lines.
Yeah,
and then we'll see where exactly Melvin Hill's body takes us. All right, here are the guys that are coming in the spring for the transfer portal, Jerry. You have to choose between these guys. Jermaine Lole, defensive lineman out of Louisville, by way of Arizona State. Silas Bolden, wide receiver out of Oregon State. Bill Norton, defensive tackle, Arizona. And Javion Cole, cornerback out of San Jose State. Of those four, which one are you most excited to see?
Javion Cole. With Terrence Brooks' departure, you figure Norton, Lole, they have a ton of experience at the Power Five level. I think you know what you're going to get from those guys. I think Lole could go a little past expectations if he's healthy, really healthier even than last year coming off the injuries. Silas Bolden really excites me because I think he can make plays in the return game. He's got that correct chip on his shoulder, and he's got a jet pack on. And I like the little guy who always has the bigger heart than everybody else on the field. But Javion Cole, similar to Bolden, I think, in that way. But with Terrence Brooks' departure, Texas needs Javion Cole to be a really, really good player. And Texas needs that corner to make plays on the ball, right? I mean, I know the switch releases. Rod talks about that, the busted coverages. But I really think making plays on the football in coverage is going to be big. I think Manny Muhammad's going to do that very well. I think Gavin Holmes is a tremendous athlete. I think Javion Cole is going to be a better playmaker on the ball than a Gavin Holmes is. I think his – what he gives Texas next year is going to be very key for the Longhorn season.
I'm going to go with the one I'm most excited to see is Silas Bolden. And the reason I say that is
he scores touchdowns for you, Bobby.
Yeah, he scores touchdowns. That's part of it. But the bigger piece is I felt like they needed a straw to stir the drink a little bit to get the DeAndre Moore going, to get Ryan Wingo to go, to get Jonte Cook going. Now, Jonte's a little bit different. He actually started off strong to get Isaiah Bond going. Okay? They needed a little spark, and I'm not so sure that Silas Bolden, I don't want to, you know, say he's an energizer bunny, but you need that kind of spark sometimes.
Yeah.
And guys like him tend to make off-schedule plays early because people aren't used to his quickness.
Yeah.
Or speed, and they kind of underestimate you because of your size. I'm kind of excited to see what he does for the offense. That would be my piece for it. And it's just a little bit different a take, but I think something that that we need to watch for. All right. This is the Monday Morning Coffee and Football brought to you by our friend John Donovan at Longhorn Wealth Management Group. Jerry Hamilton here, along with Bobby Burton. I want to say this, if you don't mind, I'm going to read our sponsor today. Thank you to our sponsor, John Donovan, President, Longhorn Wealth Management Group, who is a proud Texas Exes Life member. John wants to remind all OTF members that May is National Military Appreciation Month. So please remember to say thank you to anyone you know or meet who has served or is serving in any of our U.S. Armed Forces. John and his Longhorn Wealth team are thankful for the positive outreach they have received from the OTF family and excited to be working with several of its members. John would like to remind everyone that he has spent more than 30 years serving Longhorns across Texas and the entire nation and wants to bring his certified financial planning expertise to benefit any and all OTF members and their families. So to receive a free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family maximize your wealth, minimize your taxes, and secure your own financial future, simply call Longhorn Wealth at 972-707-4900 or visit www.longhornwealth.net. Give John and his team a shout if you get a chance. All right, we're going to get back to the chat line. Please, we've got time, about 15 more minutes here to go over some more questions if you have any. Here we go. Texas fan and Soonerland.
This is a great question.
Is a successful season for Steve Sarkisian and his team this year? Jerry, I'll let you go first.
So I may be a little different. I set that 10-2. That's where I'm going to set Texas, unless I just think they have some unbelievably great team. Especially in the SEC, you set the floor at 10-2 and see what happens. But I'll say this. It's the first year of the 12-team playoff. If Sark went 9-3 and was the 12th team in the playoff, that's a successful season to me. So I think there's two different ways to be successful for Sark this year. I think 10-2 regular season, I think would be, even though Texas doesn't have the most difficult SEC schedule, first year in the SEC, I think that'd be a hell of a year. I mean, look, the Michigan game, and I kind of lay it out the same as last year. I had 10-2 last year. But once Texas beat Bama, that changed. Okay, now 11-1 is a possibility. I still think you're going to drop a game somewhere, right? It's very hard to go undefeated. Few teams do. Injuries, just look at the end of the season last year. But 10-2 this year, if they beat Michigan, I may change that a little bit, right? And I know Texas is favored, and I think Texas will probably win the game. It's going to be a tough game. But 9-3 and the last team in the playoffs, also a successful season. So there's two ways to go about it. Either 10 regular season wins, because if Texas does that, they're for sure in the playoff. Or if you go 9-3 and get the last playoff seed, that's a successful season too. I think anything short of that, and Sark would say, probably wasn't a successful season for us like we wanted.
Yeah, here's what I need. Here's what I want. I want consecutive years of excellence. And so I think you can be excellent and go 9-3 if you're playing at Michigan, you got Georgia at home, and you just don't know about some other guys. Now, what do I think? I think it's going to be 10-2. So it's a little bit different. And I don't know where that second loss is necessarily going to come from. I do favor Georgia in Austin, even though I think Steve Sarkisian is going to be loaded for bear. Maybe it's, I mean, look, A&M's talking about loaded for bear. They're ready for sabotage and everything else. And
in a different way.
Last game of the yes. year, they've got a 13-year grudge, they're working on right now. My point being, though, is that as a Texas fan, I think that the biggest piece for this year is to not go and lay an egg and go 7-5.
Right.
And I'm not saying they should or that they will, but that's where you start talking about, oh boy, maybe this was a one-hit wonder, even with the roster that we see, right? And so there's a downside risk here that I'm talking about that I'm a little that you definitely don't want to do. So a successful season, 9-3 and up, with the potential of being in the playoffs at 12 teams,
yep.
if it's the right three, and they finish strong. You know, it just all depends. I don't think, I mean, Daddy Trill Beef is right. 9-3 is not elite. I'm not saying it is.
I'll disagree with 9-3 and in the playoff is going to be elite in college football. So if you're just chasing the number of wins, BS, you now have a 12-team playoff system. You can be 9-3 and get in the playoff. You're one of the top 12 teams in the country. That's going to be a hell of a season in college football in the SEC. I mean, how many teams?
Hey, here we go. A&M has a 130-year grudge. They can go flunk it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I love reading the chats. The chat's almost as good as the content sometimes, guys. And we do appreciate you guys being a part of it. Jameson Washington, I'm going to ask two questions that he had back-to-back. Jerry, where does Texas stand with recruits like Jonah Williams and Dorian Brew? Also, who would be a surprise commitment? And then do we see any more portal additions at this point?
Well, go back to that first question.
Okay. Dorian Brew and Jonah Williams and any surprise commitments?
I think if Jonah Williams picked Texas, it'd be a surprise at this point. So, Dorian Brew, I think Texas is right there in the fight with Ohio State, LSU. I mean, I think they're right there. That's going to be a June battle. I mean, a lot of these recruitments are, it's coming down to these official visits, and these recruitments get real in January and June on these official visits. I think right now in our industry, a lot of the who's leading who stuff is great to talk about. But Jamie French was a locked Ohio State 2 months ago. And just think about where things are at now. And even though Texas is in a good position now, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. June's going to decide these things with these top kids. I mean, so we'll see what happens there. Dorian Brew, I think Texas has a legitimate shot there. We'll see what happens in June as this moves forward.
The portal additions thing, I want to say this. I'm waiting to see if there's anybody that shakes loose as a grad transfer.
Yeah,
that's what I want to say. So let's see if anything shakes loose there. I don't know of anybody that they're actively talking to right now in the portal. They were talking to Johnny Bowens, but I don't know if that's going to actually transpire. The defensive lineman out of Oregon. So we'll see if that goes any further or not. All right, this one from John Haney. I see Texas losing 6 OL to graduation or early draft. Jake Majors, Max Merrill, Kelvin Banks, DJ Campbell, Cam Williams, Nato, or maybe someone different. Texas needs a big OL class this year. Here's the problem with that, though. A big OL class this year is not going to address what you really need. Not unless they go to the portal. Okay? That's the whole problem that Texas has tried to get themselves out of over the last 3 or 4 years with Steve Sarkisian. They want to replace juniors or seniors with sophomores or juniors. You don't want to think about trying to replace a senior that has or a true junior like Kelvin Banks, who's going to have almost 40 starting games by the time he leaves, with someone that's never even seen a college practice field. So Texas does need a big class. More than anything, though, in my opinion, they need to develop who they've got right now for next year. That's the big piece on high school recruiting. Look, I can say, don't forget about Hayden Connor in that group.
Yeah.
I don't think Nato is going anywhere after this year.
No.
But the others, I mean, Merrill is a backup, so you don't really worry about losing him. But Jake Majors is a 4-year starter. Kelvin Banks, 3-year starter. DJ Campbell would be a 2-year starter. Cam Williams is a super prospect that would only be a 1-year starter. But again, tremendous prospects, a lot of them. And some of them will go pro early. You know, I would be surprised if one of Campbell or Williams don't go pro. Now, I don't know which one. I think Kelvin Banks is going to go pro early. That's kind of decided with the way he's being mocked right now. But DJ Campbell or Cam Williams, I think it's a 50-50 or better shot that one of the two tests the draft.
Yeah.
You agree with that statement about, first of all, Jerry, do you agree with you're trying to replace juniors and seniors with sophomores and juniors, right? You're not wanting to go to the high school ranks for
an offer on
it. And then second, talk about those guys that they're potentially losing next year.
Yeah, so I think Texas will probably lose six offensive linemen after this year. Now, that could be graduation, early draft, portal. I think six is a pretty healthy number to the way to look at it, right? I'm telling you guys this. If Cam Williams has a really good year, he's going to vault up the NFL draft boards. There's some thought in Austin he could be a first-round pick. Now, whether that's after 1 or 2 years, we'll see. But he has got that ability. If DJ Campbell has a tremendous year, if he makes a big jump from year one to year two, he absolutely, the goal would be to go pro. So we talked about this when these guys were recruited shortly after they got to campus, even before games are played. We were hearing out of Austin 4 NFL draft picks out of that group of 2022 offensive linemen. And, man, it's sure looking that way. So I think Texas could lose some guys. I mean, look, here's the crazy thing, and I'm not sitting here saying who's going to go into portal and whatnot, but what happens this year is it's not just what happens after the season, it's what happens in the spring. So after Jake Majors graduates, there's going to be a competition at center between Connor Robertson and Daniel Cruz. If Daniel Cruz wins that competition in the spring, then does Connor Robertson stick around to be a backup again? Or does he, graduating early, go on as a grad transfer and go start somewhere? Because these are very good, very good players. We don't know who's going to win the competition. So I think six is a pretty good bet of how many guys they're going to lose one way or the other.
Hey, Steve Booth has a great comment. If all those guys have good years, we are not losing two games.
That's the way I look at it. And Steve Booth, look, we said this before last year. We went because Byron Murphy wasn't on draft boards. Go look at the mock
draft. Not like that.
He was a fourth, fifth round, third round to fifth round type of guy. And we said it last year before the year. If Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, some of these guys have the opportunity to go pro after last year, then Texas will have had a tremendous year, which they did. Same thing this year. If you look up and Cam Williams is in the draft and DJ Campbell's in the draft and Isaiah Bond's being mocked as a first or second rounder, and, you know, go down the list of a few of these other guys are in the draft that could go early, then Texas will be back in the playoff. That's just the bottom line and the way to look at this. You're not going to have all those guys rise on draft boards and not have a really good season.
Hey, Jerry, a couple things here. I want to say real quick, Terrence Brooks, we neglected to mention this, okay? Terrence Brooks is committed to Illinois.
Yep.
He did that over the weekend when we were talking about DBs earlier. Trey Day, Jerry, do you think Cam Williams is comparable to Amarius Mims, 1-year starter at Georgia, first-round draft pick? He, of course, is that big, huge kid that Georgia just had.
That is an interesting comparison, and I would say not out of the question. If Cam Williams has a really good season, he's going to be good in the run game. I think he could have some moments in pass protection early on and then get much better the second half of the year. And the way that fans look at Cam Williams may not be the way that NFL looks at Cam Williams, right? I don't think it's out of the question that that's what happens. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think it's obviously better to start 2 years. But the comparison, I don't think, is crazy. Where's Amarius Mims last year on draft boards at the start of the season? Yep. The NFL had him on the list, but he hadn't started.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Georgia had such a ridiculous group of young guys.
Yep.
I mean, they had just hoarded offensive linemen and defensive linemen. And you saw the result of that in the last three NFL drafts. Just a dude. This is a good question because I think he's often a forgotten guy, but has shown some ability overall. Is Malik Ogbo expected to stay out at blocking tight end? Yes. So he was used out there. However, I think he's becoming a useful piece on the interior at the same time, Jerry. He could be one of those guys, along with Cole Hudson, along with whomever, at Nato, Brandon Baker, Trevor Goosby, Jaden Chapman, maybe a Brandon Baker or Nate Kibbles is ready to go next year too. What are your thoughts on a guy like Malik Ogbo in his future at Texas?
Yeah, it's hard to kind of pin down the future, right? I will say this. He has as good a feet, good a feet as any offensive lineman that Texas has. I think he's a very valuable player for Texas. I think this year's big for him. I think he's happy at Texas. And look, Kyle Flood is – one thing Kyle Flood's got is a resume of developing players. And if guys just have some patience with him, he'll develop those guys. I mean, Christian Jones is a great calling card, but that's not the only one. He's had guys before it. So I think it's part of that development process. Malik Ogbo totally changed his body. And, you know, he's got to continue to add, stack that good weight and strength to that frame because his body's changed probably more than any other offensive lineman.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. If he was not dissimilar to Sadir Mitchell coming out of high school physically. Now, Sadir's bigger.
Right.
But a lot of bad weight.
Yeah.
Top heavy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Malik Ogbo looks like right now, if you stack weight on 290 pounds with his quick feet, it takes a while. It's just proof. They're not on the same development schedule. They're just not. So good stuff. All right, Derek.
By the way, I wanted to say one thing because I think the chat's continued. Like, if Texas went 9-3 this year and snuck into the playoff as the 12th seed, and I know 9-3 doesn't guarantee a playoff seed, I bet an SEC team at 9-3 gets in as the 12th seed.
One of them will.
But I'm just going to throw this scenario out for the people that say that wouldn't be elite. If Texas went 9-3 and got into the 12-team playoff, that means they made the playoff 2 years in a row. That's elite, people. I don't know what else to say.
Well,
that's
I'll elite this-
college football.
They would be one of only four teams that had that opportunity.
Yep.
And I don't think it's not going to be Washington this year. No. Alabama, maybe. Michigan, is very doubtful.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see.
If you make the playoff 2 years in a row, it's elite.
Look, I'm one of those guys that everybody wants to talk about record. I'm more of an eye test guy.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is I've seen teams that were 11-1 that I wouldn't think were very good. I mean, just coming out of poor conferences, I've seen teams that are 8-4 and I sure as hell wouldn't want to play them at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I want Texas to be, I'm not saying I want to be 8-4. I want them to be the team that I wouldn't want to play at the end of the season. That's where you start getting in the mix for championships. National championships, teams that nobody wants to play come November.
Yeah.
If you're on that list, no matter how you're on that list, that to me starts making you more of an elite team. That's my justification for that conversation. All right. Had one last question we want to get to here on the Monday morning coffee and football. Jerry, this from Derek. Are Javion Cole's measurements correct? 5'10", 175. Hopefully those are from his high school recruiting profile. They are from his high school recruiting profile, but I thought he came in a little bit bigger than that at Texas just last week.
Yeah, I think 5'10 and a quarter is correct for him based on what I heard. So we'll see. I think that's a pretty accurate height without shoes on.
But what about weight? I thought he's like 185, 190. Is that?
I don't think he was that. I didn't hear about him being that much, so I don't know on that one.
Got it. Okay. All right. We'll have to circle back and get that answer for you guys, Derek, if that's okay. Jerry, you know, we started this talking about everything that's gone on over the weekend. Number of graduates at the University of Texas. Congratulations to everyone. They got a UT degree. Hook 'em. Mine is like right behind my head up there. just so you can see it. So congratulations to anyone and everyone who graduated from the University of Texas. We wish you the best of luck as you move on into your professional career. Then also, I want to say congrats to Derek Johnson, who gave School of Education commencement speech. Saw a little bit of that, Jerry, on YouTube and on Twitter, and that was really nice. Then I also want to mention the softball team finished first and got the number one overall seed in the NCAA softball tournament, first time ever for the Longhorns. The men's and women's track and field team also swept the Big 12 championships, giving Texas now 14 Big 12 championships. And as Jerry mentioned, Texas also took 2 of 3 from UCF in baseball. Horns have now won 5 straight Big 12 series. I think they're 3rd or 4th in the conference at this point. And also want to mention that I said Texas had 14 conference championships to A&M's 0. 0 for 19, and that's just for Jerry Hamilton. I'm saying that as we say goodbye here, so Jerry can go and suffer the slings and arrows of others as we get going.
Jerry, 0 for 19. I mean, I'm just – for somebody that beats their chest, I mean, that's a pretty amazing number.
Well, Trev Alberts is going to change it, just like Bill Byrne was going to change it, just like – what's the guy that just went up to Ohio State that couldn't get out of his own way?
Yeah.
Ross Bjork. Anyways. All right. That's going to do it for this morning's Coffee and Football. We'll be back. We have a mid-afternoon update. Then Bob Shipley, Rod Babers, and CJ Vogel are back for the winning drive. We may have more today from different places as well. We got a lot of stuff on tap. Also, please check us out on ontexasfootball.com. If you haven't become a subscriber, please think about it. It's something that we're having a lot of fun with over on the message boards, talking to everybody. Become an OTF OG member for just $39.95 annually. Make sure you use the code OTF OG, apply the code, and you'll get $20 off a month or an annual subscription. Terrific deal for those out there. Also, would like to thank Manscaped. Jerry's very thankful for that because it brings the humor for him every morning. And then also John Donovan and his team over at longhornwealth.net. All right, Jerry, that's going to do it. Get after it, bud. We'll see you later today. Hook 'em. Have a good week, guys.